Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a historical review of Dominica, A Journey Through Time. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Cradle of Civilization. The island known today as Dominica is a place of breathtaking beauty. Jagged mountains rising into misty skies, rivers carving their way through lush rainforests, and the sound of the sea crashing against its rugged shores. But long before it bore the name Dominica, it was called Waitakubuli by its first settlers, the Kalinago people. This name, meaning tall as her body, spoke of reverence for the land, a deep connection that shaped their lives and their identity. The story of Dominica begins thousands of years ago with a people who crossed treacherous seas in search of a new home. This chapter unravels the tale of the Kalinago, their arrival on this pristine island, and their profound relationship with the world around them. Across the waters, it began far to the south, along the banks of the Orinoco River in what is now Venezuela. There, among fertile plains and dense forests, the ancestors of the Kalinago people honed their skills as navigators and explorers. Driven by curiosity, necessity, or the lure of the unknown, they began their migration northward, following the chain of islands that stretched across the Caribbean Sea. The journey was perilous. Using dugout canoes carved from massive trees, they ventured into open waters, guided only by the stars and the patterns of the waves. The sea was their highway, connecting them to distant shores. When they reached Waitakubuli, they found a land unlike any they had seen, a place of boundless beauty, abundant resources, and mysteries waiting to be discovered. A sacred bond with the land. To the Kalinago, Waitakubuli was more than a place to live. It was a living entity, a sacred gift from their gods. They believed that every mountain, river, and tree was imbued with spirit, and they lived in harmony with the natural world. The island provided everything they needed: fresh water from its rivers, fertile soil for their crops, and an ocean teeming with fish. Their settlements, known as Kalinagos, were small yet well-organized. At the heart of each village stood an ajupa, a communal dwelling made of wood and palm leaves, designed to withstand the island's tropical storms. Surrounding these homes were fields of cassava, sweet potatoes, and yams, crops carefully cultivated to sustain their community. The Kalinago were skilled artisans, crafting pottery, weaving baskets, and fashioning tools from stone and bone. Their canoes, which could carry up to 40 warriors, were marvels of engineering, both swift and sturdy. Every aspect of their lives was intertwined with the land, a delicate balance of giving and taking. A society of warriors and caretakers. Kalinago society was built on a foundation of respect and shared purpose. At its head was the Abutu, or chief, whose authority came from his lineage and his ability to lead in times of war and peace. The Abutu was not merely a ruler, but also a spiritual guide, responsible for maintaining harmony within the community and between the people and their gods. Women held essential roles as the keepers of the land. They cultivated crops, prepared food, and wove intricate patterns into baskets and fabrics. Their work sustained the community, and their knowledge of plants and healing was unparalleled. Men, on the other hand, were hunters, fishers, and warriors, always ready to defend their home against threats. The Kalinago were a proud and resilient people. Their reputation as fierce warriors was well-earned, yet they were not a society defined solely by conflict. They were storytellers, singers, and dancers, preserving their history and beliefs through oral traditions passed down from one generation to the next. The struggle for dominance. Though the Kalinago thrived on Waitakubuli, they were not the first people to arrive in the Caribbean. Before them came the Arawaks, a more peaceful people who had settled many of the islands. When the Kalinago arrived, they quickly established their dominance, displacing the Arawaks and claiming the islands for themselves. The Kalinago saw war not just as a means of survival, but as a way of honoring their ancestors and gods. Battles were often preceded by elaborate rituals, invoking the spirits to guide them to victory. They fought with bows, arrows, and clubs, weapons crafted with precision and deadly effectiveness. Their tactics, which relied on speed and surprise, made them formidable opponents. The mysteries of the Kalinago. For all that is known about the Kalinago, much of their history remains a mystery. What stories did they tell as they sat by their fires? What secrets did their shamans share with the spirits of the forest? Archaeological discoveries, Fragments of pottery, tools, and ceremonial artifacts offer glimpses into their world, but so much remains untold. One enduring legacy of the Kalinago is their connection to nature. They understood the island in ways that modern science is only beginning to appreciate, living in a sustainable relationship with the land that ensured its bounty for generations. A legacy carved in stone. Though centuries have passed, the spirit of the Kalinago lives on. Today, their descendants continue to inhabit Dominica, preserving their traditions and culture in the Kalinago territory, a special area set aside for their community. Their stories are etched into the island's history, a reminder of the resilience and ingenuity of its first people. Weta Kabuli, tall as her body, remains a symbol of their enduring legacy, a place of strength and beauty, shaped by the hands of those who loved and protected it. Closing reflection. As we begin this journey through Dominica's history, it is fitting to start with the Kalinago, whose footsteps were the first to mark this land. Imagine arriving on this island, surrounded by the roar of the ocean and the whispers of the forest. What would it feel like to live in a place so wild and beautiful, to know that every tree and river was a gift from the gods? Their story is not just the beginning of Dominica's history. It is the foundation upon which everything else was built. And as we turn to the next chapter, we will see how this world, so carefully balanced, was forever changed by the arrival of strangers from across the sea. Chapter 2, The Age of Discovery. The waves crashed endlessly against the rugged cliffs of a verdant island, a towering mass of green that seemed to rise defiantly from the sea. For centuries, Dominica had been the untouched domain of the Kalinago people, who called it Weta Kabuli, tall as her body. But on November 3, 1493, this isolated paradise came into the gaze of an outsider, a man whose name would echo through history, though not for reasons the island's inhabitants could have foreseen. It was early morning when Christopher Columbus's fleet approached. The horizon stretched endlessly, the waters a vast expanse of shimmering blue. The explorer, standing on the deck of his ship, gazed at the land ahead. Steep peaks cloaked in emerald forests pierced the heavens, with rivers cascading down their slopes like silver threads. Columbus had never seen a place so wild, so untamed. It was a Sunday, and in his characteristic manner, he marked the day with the island's name, Dominica, after Dominicus, Latin for the Lord's Day. Yet, for all its allure, Dominica would remain a challenge too great for Columbus to conquer. Its steep terrain and dense rainforests stood as a natural fortress, and beyond those trees lived a people he neither understood nor attempted to know. A land untouched. To the Kalinago, the sight of sails on the horizon was no blessing. Word of the pale-skinned strangers had already traveled across the islands, stories of men who brought fire-spitting weapons and devastating diseases. They were not visitors, they were invaders. The Kalinago were no strangers to defending their land. For generations, they had clashed with the Arawaks, another indigenous group whose peaceful ways left them vulnerable to Kalinago raids. They had mastered the art of survival, their warriors fierce and swift, their weapons honed for battle. When the ships came into view, the Kalinago sharpened their resolve. This was their land. Every tree, every river, every hidden cove was a part of their identity. They would not give it up without a fight. A fleeting glimpse. Columbus and his crew did not linger on Dominica's shores. The island's ruggedness made landing a daunting prospect, and the stories of its formidable inhabitants were enough to dissuade even the boldest sailor. He took note of the island's name, its towering beauty, and moved on. But Columbus's fleeting visit was not without consequence. His discovery was a harbinger, a signal to the European powers that this corner of the world was ripe for exploitation. For the Kalinago, it was the calm before the storm. The European perspective. To the Spaniards, the Caribbean was not a land of people, but a land of opportunity. Gold and spices were the treasures they sought, and anything, or anyone, standing in their way was a mere obstacle. Dominica, with its steep mountains and impenetrable forests, was seen as a less desirable prize compared to the sugar-rich plains of other islands. But it was not ignored. Maps began to feature the name Dominica, marking it as a point of interest in the European scramble for the New World. Adventurers, traders, and missionaries began whispering about the island and its savages, a term born of ignorance and fear. Clash of worlds. The Kalinago saw themselves not as inhabitants of the land, but as its stewards. Their existence was intertwined with nature's rhythm, every action guided by respect for the spirits they believed governed the forests, rivers, and skies. To them, the Europeans were invaders, disruptors of this sacred balance. Their initial encounters were tense. Europeans approached with weapons drawn, mistrusting the Kalinago's curious stares and defensive postures. The Kalinago, in turn, saw these strangers as threats. Attempts at trade were often marred by misunderstandings. The Kalinago offered food or handmade tools, expecting reciprocity, only to find the visitors demanding more. The tension grew with every interaction, an invisible barrier that neither side could cross. A temporary refuge. For decades after Columbus's arrival, Dominica remained a sanctuary. The Spanish, deterred by its difficult terrain and the Kalinago's fierce resistance, focused their efforts on the wealthier territories of the mainland. This reprieve allowed the Kalinago to maintain their way of life, though not without challenges. The island became a haven for escaped enslaved Africans, known as Maroons, who found refuge among the Kalinago. Together, these groups forged alliances, sharing knowledge and strategies to resist European domination. But their combined strength could not shield them from the invisible enemy that came with the Europeans, disease. The silent killer. The arrival of Europeans unleashed an epidemic unlike anything the Kalinago had faced. Smallpox, measles, and other foreign diseases spread through their communities like wildfire. Entire villages were wiped out, and the survivors were left to mourn a way of life that was slowly unraveling. The Kalinago fought back with the resilience that had defined them for centuries. They retreated deeper into the forests, using their knowledge of the land to evade capture and preserve their culture. But the Europeans were relentless. What they could not conquer with weapons, they sought to claim through treaties and deception. An uneasy peace. By the late 1500s, Dominica stood at the crossroads of two worlds. The Kalinago continued to defend their land with unyielding determination, while European powers began to circle like vultures. Spain, France, and England saw the island as a strategic foothold, a stepping stone in their quest for dominance over the Caribbean. The Kalinago's resistance became legendary. Stories spread of warriors ambushing European forces, their war cries echoing through the forests. Yet for all their bravery, they were fighting a battle against time and overwhelming odds. The Europeans' numbers grew, their weapons advanced, and their ambitions knew no bounds. Legacy of the encounter. The Age of Discovery was not a chapter the Kalinago had chosen, but it was one they faced with courage and defiance. Though Columbus and his crew had merely glimpsed Dominica, their arrival signaled the beginning of an era that would reshape the island forever. The Kalinago's story was far from over, but their world had changed irrevocably. The island, once a sanctuary, became a battleground. Dominica's future would be written in the blood of its defenders and the ink of treaties signed in foreign tongues. Yet, even in the face of such upheaval, the Kalinago's spirit endured, a testament to their strength and the deep connection they held to their land. Closing reflection. Imagine standing on a cliff overlooking the sea, as the Kalinago might have done, watching strange ships approach from the horizon. Would you have welcomed these visitors or prepared for battle? The Age of Discovery was not just a meeting of worlds. It was a collision, one that forever altered the course of history. As we move into the next chapter, the story deepens. Dominica will become the center of a fierce struggle between empires, with the Kalinago caught in the crossfire. Their fight for survival is far from over. Chapter 3, Battleground of Empires. Dominica's towering peaks and dense forests had been the Kalinago's fortress for centuries, shielding them from the worst of the outside world. But by the 1600s, the island's isolation began to crumble. The Age of Discovery gave way to the Age of Colonization, and the Caribbean became a chessboard for European empires. Spain, France, and England, driven by ambition and greed, sought to carve the region into pieces of their global empires. Dominica, with its untamed beauty and strategic location, became a coveted prize. This chapter explores the fierce battles, shifting alliances, and devastating consequences that transformed Dominica into a battleground for empires. The colonial ambitions of Europe. The Caribbean was the crown jewel of the colonial power's ambitions. Its islands were rich in resources, fertile lands for sugar plantations, valuable spices, and profitable trade routes. Dominica's steep terrain and untamed wilderness made it less immediately desirable compared to flatter islands like Barbados or St. Kitts, but it held one key advantage: geography. Dominica lay between French-controlled Martinique and Guadeloupe, and whoever controlled it could dominate trade routes and fortify their position in the Lesser Antilles. The Spanish were the first to lay claim to Dominica, but their interest waned as they focused on wealthier mainland territories in Mexico and South America. This left Dominica in the sights of France and England, two rival powers whose competition would define much of the Caribbean's history. The Calinago struggle for sovereignty. To the Calinago, the Europeans were invaders, and their battles with them were extensions of their centuries-long resistance. Dominica, with its dense rainforests and hidden valleys, provided the perfect setting for guerrilla warfare. Calinago warriors struck swiftly and vanished into the wilderness, their intimate knowledge of the land making them nearly impossible to track. The Calinago formed alliances with whichever European power seemed least threatening at the time, playing the French and English against each other. But these alliances were fragile, often undermined by mutual distrust and the Europeans' ultimate goal, complete control. Despite their resilience, the Calinago faced insurmountable challenges. Disease. Epidemics continued to ravage their communities, leaving them weakened before battle. Technology. European guns and steel weapons far outmatched Calinago bows and clubs. Numbers. The influx of European settlers and enslaved Africans dramatically outnumbered the Calinago population. As the European struggle for Dominica intensified, the Calinago's role in defending their homeland became increasingly precarious. France versus England, a bitter rivalry. By the early 1600s, Dominica became a pawn in the centuries-long conflict between France and England. Both nations viewed the island as a strategic asset, and neither was willing to relinquish it without a fight. This rivalry played out in waves of colonization attempts, treaties, and bloody battles. Key moments in the struggle for Dominica. The early 1600s. Both the French and English made early attempts to settle on Dominica, but the Calinago's resistance thwarted their plans. Temporary settlements were burned, and colonists were driven away. The Treaty of Aix-la-Chapelle, 1748, in an attempt to avoid conflict, France and England agreed to leave Dominica and several other islands as neutral territories, recognizing them as the domain of the Calinago. This agreement, however, was short-lived. The Seven Years' War, 1756 to 1763, known as the French and Indian War in North America, this global conflict between France and England spilled into the Caribbean. Dominica, with its strategic location, became a focal point. In 1761, British forces captured the island from the French. The Treaty of Paris, 1763, this treaty officially ceded Dominica to Britain, marking the beginning of a new colonial era. For the Calinago, it was another devastating blow to their sovereignty. Colonization and the decline of the Calinago. With Dominica under British control, colonization intensified. Plantations were established, and the island's fertile lands were exploited for sugarcane, coffee, and cocoa. Enslaved Africans were brought to work the plantations, further eroding the Calinago's control over their ancestral lands. The Calinago were pushed into smaller and smaller territories, confined to the most remote corners of the island. Some continued to resist, launching raids against settlers, but their numbers dwindled. By the late 18th century, the Calinago population on Dominica had been reduced to a fraction of what it once was. In 1903, the British government established the Calinago Territory, a 3,700-acre area on Dominica's northeast coast. While this was meant to preserve their culture, it was a pale reflection of the vast lands they had once called home. The legacy of conflict. The battles for Dominica were not just about territory. They were about identity, survival, and the power to shape the island's future. For the Calinago, this period marked the loss of their sovereignty, but not their spirit. Their resistance became a symbol of resilience, a legacy that endures to this day. For France and England, Dominica was a pawn in a much larger game, a stepping stone in their quest for global dominance. The scars of their conflict remain in the island's culture, language, and history. French influence is still evident in Dominica's Creole language and traditions, while British colonial systems shaped its political and economic structures. Conclusion: Dominica's transformation from an independent indigenous stronghold to a battleground for empires is a story of resilience, ambition, and survival. The Calinago fought valiantly to defend their home, but they were caught in the crossfire of a larger struggle. As we move into the next chapter, we'll explore how the arrival of enslaved Africans and the rise of the plantation economy further reshaped Dominica, leaving indelible marks on its people and culture. Closing reflection. Picture the dense rainforests of Dominica, the sound of drums echoing through the trees as Kalinago warriors prepare for battle. Imagine the smoke rising from French and English camps as they fight over land that does not belong to them. What does it mean to defend a home that others are determined to claim? What would you sacrifice to protect the land that gave you life? These questions linger as Dominica's story unfolds, and the echoes of its past reverberate through its present. Chapter 4. Enslavement and the Rise of the Plantation Economy. The lush, fertile lands of Dominica, once the sanctuary of the Kalinago, became a battleground not only for empires but also for human lives. By the mid-17th century, European powers had recognized the island's agricultural potential. Dominica's rain-fed valleys and volcanic soil were perfect for cultivating lucrative crops like sugarcane, coffee, and cocoa. To exploit this potential, they turned to the transatlantic slave trade, ushering in one of the darkest chapters in Dominica's history. This chapter explores how the rise of the plantation economy reshaped Dominica, delving into the experiences of the enslaved, the profit-driven motives of the colonists, and the enduring impact of this era. The transatlantic slave trade reaches Dominica. The transatlantic slave trade was a web of human suffering that stretched across three continents. Africans, torn from their homelands, were shipped to the Americas in brutal conditions to work on plantations. Dominica, with its burgeoning sugar industry, became a part of this inhumane system in the 18th century. Enslaved Africans arrived on the island in chains, disoriented and traumatized. After surviving the harrowing Middle Passage, a journey marked by overcrowding, disease, and death, they were auctioned off like livestock. Families were torn apart as buyers prioritized physical strength and labor potential over human connections. The plantation system. Plantations in Dominica were massive operations, often owned by absentee landlords who resided in Europe, leaving the day-to-day management to overseers. These overseers, driven by the need for profit, enforced harsh conditions on the enslaved. Fields of sugarcane stretched across the landscape, each stalk a symbol of wealth for the colonists and suffering for those forced to cultivate it. Life on the plantations. Labor. The enslaved worked from sunrise to sunset, enduring backbreaking labor in the tropical heat. Tasks ranged from planting and harvesting sugarcane to operating dangerous machinery in the mills. Punishment. Discipline was brutal. Whippings, mutilations, and other forms of torture were used to instill fear and obedience. Living conditions. Enslaved people were housed in cramped, poorly ventilated quarters, with minimal food and no medical care. Malnutrition and disease were rampant. Despite these conditions, the enslaved resisted in whatever ways they could. Some sabotaged equipment, feigned illness, or slowed their work. Others plotted more direct acts of defiance, risking their lives for freedom. The resilience of the enslaved. In the face of unimaginable suffering, the enslaved found ways to preserve their humanity. They forged bonds of kinship, shared stories, and created spiritual practices that connected them to their African heritage. Music, dance, and oral traditions became tools of survival, expressions of hope and defiance. Religious practices, blending African beliefs with Christianity, flourished in secrecy. These gatherings provided solace and solidarity, a reminder that, even in chains, their spirit could not be broken. Rebellion and resistance. Dominica's rugged terrain offered an advantage to those who sought freedom. Enslaved individuals fled the plantations, seeking refuge in the island's dense forests and remote mountain valleys. These escapees, known as Maroons, established hidden communities where they could live free from the watchful eyes of the colonists. The Maroons waged guerrilla warfare against the colonists, ambushing supply lines and raiding plantations. Their knowledge of the land made them formidable adversaries, and their resistance inspired others to rise against their oppressors. One of the most famous uprisings occurred in the late 18th century, as news of the Haitian Revolution spread across the Caribbean. Enslaved people on Dominica saw a beacon of hope in Haiti's fight for independence, sparking rebellions on the island. Though these uprisings were often met with brutal suppression, they sent a clear message. The enslaved would not accept their fate without a fight. A lucrative but fragile economy. The plantation system made Dominica a profitable colony, but it was built on fragile foundations. The economy depended entirely on the exploitation of human labor, and any disruption, whether through rebellion, natural disaster, or market fluctuations, could bring it to the brink of collapse. The global sugar market was notoriously volatile. As production increased across the Caribbean, prices often plummeted, leaving planters in debt. Hurricanes, a constant threat in the region, could destroy entire harvests in a matter of hours. These vulnerabilities highlighted the unsustainable nature of the system, but the colonists clung to it for as long as it generated wealth. The path to abolition. By the late 18th century, abolitionist movements began to gain traction in Europe, fueled by the efforts of individuals and groups who exposed the horrors of slavery. In Britain, organizations like the Society for Effecting the Abolition of the Slave Trade published testimonies and lobbied Parliament to end the trade. The enslaved themselves were critical to this movement. Acts of rebellion and the persistence of Maroon communities demonstrated that slavery could not last. The Haitian Revolution, in particular, sent shockwaves through the colonial world, proving that enslaved people could overthrow their oppressors and claim their freedom. In 1807, Britain abolished the transatlantic slave trade, but slavery itself remained legal. It would take another generation of struggle before emancipation was achieved. The human cost. By the time slavery was abolished in 1834, thousands of lives had been lost, and countless more had been irreparably damaged. The legacy of this system remains etched into Dominica's history, not just in the ruins of old plantations, but in the culture and identity of its people. Conclusion. The rise of the plantation economy transformed Dominica in profound ways, reshaping its landscape, society, and future. For the colonists, it was a source of immense wealth. For the enslaved, it was a chapter of unimaginable suffering, but also of resilience and resistance. The strength of those who endured this dark time laid the groundwork for the eventual abolition of slavery and the fight for equality. As we move into the next chapter, we will explore the aftermath of emancipation and the challenges faced by freed individuals as they sought to build new lives in a world still shaped by colonial power dynamics. Closing reflection. Picture the rolling fields of sugarcane, their beauty masking the suffering of those forced to tend them. Imagine the courage it took to flee into the unknown, risking everything for a chance at freedom. The era of slavery is a painful but essential part of Dominica's story, one that reminds us of the resilience of the human spirit even in the darkest times. What would you have done to protect your freedom? To protect your humanity? These are questions we carry forward as we continue this journey through Dominica's history.